Blog Talk Radio.
Go! Go for it! Go! Go for it! Hello and welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, all your ideas, and all your beliefs. Of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinions. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And for those who like to send emails, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Doing well. Good to have you back. You've been, I guess, on hiatus for a little bit.
Contract negotiations, Paul. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah, they get a little sticky from time to time. But anyway, it's good to have you back. We're supposed to be joined, we're expected to be joined by the world's greatest and most famous Clippers fan, Clipper Darryl. And he will make his pitch to LeBron James and any other free agents why they should go to the L.A. Clippers. Yes, that's right. The L.A. Clippers. And
the coachless L.A. Clippers, right, Paul? The coachless
L.A.
Clippers.
Yes, the coachless L.A. Clippers.
The team of flux L.A. Clippers.
Yes, that too. Some could say cheap ownership L.A. Clippers. I mean, you get a lot of Clipper jokes. I mean, I remember Arsenio Hall used to have a ton of Clipper jokes. And you could say a lot of jokes when it comes to the Los Angeles Clippers. Definitely, definitely, definitely. You can have a lot of jokes when it comes to that franchise. But today, I mean, I'm ready to make my pitch for why LeBron James needs to stay home and stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's very simple, LeBron James. You're from Ohio, and if you stay there and you win a championship there, LeBron, you could be a hero. You could be a legend. You have an opportunity to end the championship drought in Cleveland. It's been a long time. As of right now, if you roll the ball out today with that same Cleveland team that is currently assembled, you're averaging 60 wins over the last 2 years, an Eastern Conference Finals appearance 2 seasons ago, an NBA Finals appearance 3 seasons ago. LeBron, I understand, man, that you know your team doesn't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of adding guys, but hey, the Lakers found a way to add Pau Gasol, so they can do something for you. They did give you Antoine Jameson. You still have Anderson Varejao. You still have Mo Williams. You have J.J. Hickson, who contributed well when he played. I mean, you've got some pieces there, LeBron, and, of course, you got yourself, who is a champion, LeBron. So I think it's LeBron, you should stay in Ohio. I mean, ownership has found a way to bring you some talent, and they'll spend the money for you. And you got to look at it this way, LeBron, if you want commercial appeal, win some titles, LeBron, and no matter where you're at in this day and age of internet and cell phones, iPads, iTouches, all that other great stuff, people will see, people will notice, and you will be advertising everywhere. LeBron, it took Michael Jordan 7 years to win a title. So, and a new coach, mind you. So maybe it'll take you about 8 years, LeBron, maybe. And a new coach, because Cleveland is looking for a coach. So, LeBron, here's my pitch to you. Stay in Cleveland and become a legend. And, hey, if you don't want to stay in Cleveland, maybe you can come to the Sixers, LeBron. Mid-level exemption, baby. We'll give you some advertising dollars, and you can come on here to Philadelphia. What do you think, LeBron? What do you think? That's my pitch. LeBron, stay in Cleveland.
Well,
I mean, that's the way
I
feel.
You make a great argument, Paul, but if you're a realist and you're making money, like I said, you're certainly gonna take the money, stay in Cleveland.
if you really want to win a championship, you know, you're really going to look at the free agent market. You're going to look at the teams that you could go to realistically, and you're going to say, where do I have the best chance for instant success? And that's right up the road. He could live in Chicago. He can live in Ohio, and he's from Ohio. He could go right up the road, right into Chicago, and, you know, he can take right over the throne of MJ and win a couple of championships easily, you know, with the Bulls and bring the Bulls back to prominence. And who knows, maybe Phil Jackson still wants to coach next season. He may be coaching in Chicago again. They have a young talent pool. They could certainly add a free agent, a mid-level free agent with LeBron. And thus, he's going to make a case, I believe, anyway, to put them right into easily, you know, Eastern Conference champion contention for years to come. They have Rose locked up. They have Joakim Noah locked up. And I think he adds a dominant piece to their roster. I mean, if you look at Cleveland, where you're saying they have a lot of washed-up has-beens, and you named them all, so I don't have to, but none of them are as proven as who you have on the Chicago Bulls team. But I can't say I disagree with you. If he wants to, you know, come to a big market, Philadelphia certainly is the place to be. And I mean, if he wants to win championships, Chicago, there you are. And if you want to take the money, well, then there's Cleveland.
So that's your pitch for LeBron to go to Cleveland.
Well, my pitch for LeBron is, I mean, and if you really want to be honest about it, if he has a great career in Cleveland, he takes over for MJ, who knows, maybe he'll be lucky a couple years from now in the BET Awards. Chris Brown will be, instead of dancing as MJ, he'll be shooting balls as MJ and LB.
And crying?
Well, please, Paul. I mean, I don't want to talk about men who cry.
Well, I mean, that's another story for another time, for another
yeah.
show. But, I mean, you made some interesting points. In terms of Chicago, they're in the process of trading Kirk Heinrich to the Washington Wizards. So that's going to shed some more money. And speaking of that, there have been reports, according to the New York Times, that it's a done deal. Chris Bosh and LeBron James will sign with Chicago. I mean, that's according to the New York Times, and that's according to an NBA source. But again, I mean, we'll see what happens there. We'll see how the process plays out. But, I mean, again, LeBron, I mean, you look, if you stay home, man, I mean, it's all about championships. It's all about championships. So, if you're really serious about winning a championship, guaranteed, LeBron, you roll that ball out, you're winning 60 games. It's been proven. 2 years.
Oh, I didn't even in my yeah. argument. I didn't even have to. I didn't feel it prudent or necessary to talk about what you did, which is like you said, the report that he's already signed with Chicago as Chris Bosh did. I mean, if you think about it, him, Bosh, Rose, and Noah. I mean, they're winning. You talk about winning championships. They're winning 5, 6. He's gonna have Kobe level championships. The problem in Cleveland is they only have money for LeBron, so you're stuck with that same team. And you've seen for the last 3-4 seasons, they can't and they won't match up against some of the more talented teams that are in the East. And one of the biggest problems that they've had, and especially the last 2-3 years, is how are they going to get through Orlando, who has a dominant center and a bunch of characters that surround him that are good enough anyway to beat a Cleveland team that does not have the roster it needs to have to get through Dwight Howard.
Well, judging by what we saw this year with the Boston Celtics, maybe you have to worry about the Celtics, but I think that was their final hurrah. That was their last hurrah this past season. So, but the way I look at it is, yeah, I understand Dwight Howard's there, and he's a force. But we'll see in terms of what they do in terms of a big man. Maybe they bring back Shaq, who I think still, as old as he is, still could limit Dwight Howard. I'm not saying shut Dwight Howard down, but limit Dwight Howard. And that's all.
Well, you said that all season. It got you nowhere. You're going to unfortunately
say
it all.
Well, the matchup never happened, so, I mean, it never happened. And I guess I was wrong in that particular situation. I was wrong, yes, and, you know, it's life. I mean, it's part of life, you know. You live and you learn. You learn and you live. So that's just what happens. But I think LeBron, again, roll that ball out, baby. If you roll the ball out, you're guaranteed 60. You're guaranteed 60 wins. And so you can't say that anywhere else. You can't say
but 60 wins don't get him a championship, Paul?
Well, it gets you home court advantage, and then what you do from there is...
But is it going to get you a championship, Paul? Or is this where I have to remind you what you don't know about sports?
Go ahead. Explain.
I mean, because guaranteeing 60 wins, guaranteeing home court advantage in the playoffs, my question was, is it going to guarantee you a championship? There's a championship of the regular. He's won, Paul, he's won two. In my opinion, LeBron James has won two MVPs and two championships of the regular season and zero championships of the playoffs, which means, you know, some people will sit there and tell you how great that is and how much they know about sports. And then there's realists out there that basically, you know, they're yawning at that point. So you had to excuse me. It is a little bit past my bedtime. I'm not yawning at you.
So who are you yawning at?
I'm glad you found that funny. I mean, really, it's good that you can amuse yourself in all of your rhetoric.
It's not rhetoric. I think it's legit. I think it's very legit. And I think if you look at it, again, I mean, I know I say this often, but roll the ball out, man, and you're guaranteed 60 wins. You're guaranteed 60 wins.
No, I mean, well, but I think, honestly, Paul, you put him on a multitude, especially of these free agent teams, and you're going to be in 2 years, maybe 3 years away, he'll be getting 60 wins in any team he plays for.
I wouldn't agree with that. So if you put him on the Knicks, roll that
in
ball
two to three
out.
Years, in 2 to 3 years, yes, because they'll get rid of some more of the garbage year in, year out, and through the draft and through some of the trades, yes, they can – Paul, Cleveland's roster, again, like, you're talking about Antoine Jameson, nothing. Shaquille O'Neal, he's dead. He's just on life support. And anybody knows anything about life support means you're dead, but you just haven't really died yet. So he's milking $20 million a year out of the NBA. So, I mean, why wouldn't he play? Especially when you're on life support. And it's not really hurting you because you're in a coma, medically induced, and you don't feel the pain. So their team is just like it's the prototypical NBA LeBron James 60-win NBA championship season. Just get players around him. Every year they're going after, you know, that mid-level player in the Antoine Jameson to get another win, to get them to the, you know, to get them into the playoffs with a high seed, one or two or three seed.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I mean, you're saying go to New York maybe 2 years from now and you win a title. Well,
no, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not. I didn't know. I'm saying go to New York or even go, you know, when we hear from Daryl, you know, go to L.A. and get on the Clippers team and certainly you'll have some level of success in 2 to 3 years. You know, and I think if you're LeBron James and you want to make an argument for the Clippers, the only logical argument you're going to make is, hey, I mean, you're coming to L.A., you'll finally make the Clippers relevant. 2 to 3 years from now, you'll have the 60 wins, you'll have the 55 wins, you'll have the 58 wins. I mean, he could be a dominant player on a dominant team in a humongous market and make them as relevant, if not more relevant, than the L.A. Lakers, considering, you know, Kobe is getting older, and the cast of characters on the Lakers, I mean, they're having a good run this year, maybe next year, but in 2 to 3 years, where are they going to be?
Yeah, and I mean, that core is still young with Odom and Gasol and, of course, Kobe. But, I mean, Clipper Dell obviously is going to make the case and make the pitch for LeBron to come to L.A., but you're right about L.A. I mean, not to mention that we didn't even mention the basketball side in a lot of ways. I mean, Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, Chris Kaman. You got Blake Griffin, who hasn't played yet, but is expected to play this year. I mean, you got some pieces there, man. You got a lot of cap room. And so you got some things there in L.A. that, you know, you can build off. And you put LeBron in that situation? I mean, there's no telling.
Well,
So I'm saying,
again,
you know,
Paul,
would that be,
no, again,
I'm
you're
saying,
talking about they're a younger Cleveland team, less relevant players. The cap room is the only inviting real issue. If you're going to look at the Clippers strategically, the fact that they do have, I mean, Blake Griffin in the NBA is going to be a younger, I think, a more hipper version of Carlos Boozer. And don't get me wrong, Paul, he's a great player. Carlos Boozer, and I think if him and LeBron could team up, maybe you could see something happen. But this is the guy in no way is going to be a stud, no way going to be a superstar, no way going to really bring you a championship on his shoulders. So they have potentially the option of another free agent, but you know the Clippers are certainly not going to get it done with the cast that they have there now and LeBron James.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they are, but I mean, you look at that talent, you look at that roster talent-wise. I mean, you got some pieces there with Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, Chris Kaman. You got some pieces there, and Blake Griffin. I mean, you got some pieces there, and you got a young DeAndre Jordan who showed some promise as well. So you got some pieces there, man. And now we're joined by the world famous Clipper Darryl. Clipper Darryl?
What's up? How you doing today? I'm going
well,
doing
lovely.
Fine.
How are you? Everything good out there in L.A.?
Oh, yeah, man. L.A. is beautiful, baby.
So how was that parade for LeBron?
Hey, it was beautiful, man. I loved it, man. I loved it. It showed LeBron the love, man. You know, we want LeBron here. Clipper Nation wants LeBron.
Now, Clipper Darryl, I mean, how did you go from just regular Darryl Bailey to Clipper Darryl? Where did this all come in? Where did the transition happen?
Well, when I became a season ticket holder, I was just having fun at a game, and I was just dancing. I was just dancing in the aisles, and Clipper Nation liked it. You know, the fans loved it, and it just went from there. Went from day one on. I've been doing it for the past. This is going on my 10th season.
Now, Clipper, you got 385 consecutive games, and I got to say something about that, Clipper Darryl. I mean, let's be honest here. You haven't been seeing some good basketball during your time as a Clippers season ticket holder. So that's pretty impressive, man, 385 games straight. How do you make it to all those games?
I mean, I go around my schedule since I'm self-employed. You know, I go around, you know, and everybody knows I'm a big Clipper fan. So it's like when I take in meetings or whatever, everybody knows it goes around the schedule. So, you know, if you can meet me before the game or you can meet me after the game. But during the game, I'm there, you know.
Well, here's a question I have as a follow-up, Clipper Darryl. How do you work, you know, the wife and the family responsibilities in the 300 consecutive games? Because I'd like to watch three consecutive games just in my home.
I mean, my wife is understanding. You know, I have a good family. You know, I support my kids and what they do and their adventures. And, you know, and they respect what I do. They respect that I love. That's my getaway. That's how I get drunk and get high, and that's high. You know what I'm saying? I don't drink nor smoke, but that's mine.
Clipper Darryl, neither do I. So maybe after the show on your website, if you could just, you know, put out there for my wife as a special message, you know, to let me, you know, enjoy what you do, because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't watch the Sixers, nor maybe do I want to, but. You know, it is impressive, like Paul and I were saying, 385 games in a row on a Clippers. In the last couple of years, they certainly have been doing a lot of great things, but it's amazing to show that kind of dedication.
Yeah. I'm passionate. I'm definitely passionate about my team. But, you know, it's all about how I became a Clipper fan. That's why I'm so passionate because, you know, over 15 years ago, I got fired from a job, and a guy told me I never amount to anything in life without him. And you know how you get fired? You go home, you feel sorry for yourself. And, you know, I plopped on the couch, turned the TV on, Clipper game comes on. They said the same thing about them, how horrible the ownership was, how they'll never amount to anything in life. I said, this is going to be my team, and we're going to ride and die together. That's how I became a Clipper fan.
And that's a great story, and that's impressive on your part for getting up and making something of yourself and making something of your situation. Now, Clipper Darryl, 385 games straight. Has there ever been a situation where you almost missed a game, where the streak was almost broken?
You know, actually now the streak has been broken, but the it was like around my 300th game. We at church, I had my 25th anniversary for the church, and I'm a deacon for the church, so I had to be there. So they rented an auditorium to have this anniversary dinner at. So it ran longer than I thought. We had a 12:30 game on a Sunday. So I got to the game with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Exactly. So my streak ended. I definitely made it. I definitely made it.
Now, when did the streak end?
The streak ended at 386 due to the fact I was in the hospital. I had severe chest pains, and come to find out, I had high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So now I'm watching my diet and eating right, eating a lot of vegetables, you know.
Now, Clipper Darrell, 10 years as a season ticket holder, had to be lots of memories. What is your greatest Clippers memory?
Game 7, when Donald T. Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, asked me to get on the plane with the team to go to Game 7.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So you're very valued there.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows me. I mean, I got offered a job with the Dallas Mavericks with Mark Cuban in Dallas.
And that gets you turned it down. Clipper, that was a funny story. You said that. I used to work at ESPN, so I used to watch Clippers games. And the funny thing is, I was watching that game where you were interviewing. A sideline reporter was telling you, you were saying Mark Cuban's making a pitch to you to go to Dallas, and you were kind of like, you were kind of wavering. I got the sense that it was a good offer for you, and you wanted to do it, or you were thinking about doing it, or you're kind of close to doing it. How close did you come to taking the job with Mark Cuban?
Weighing what he wanted me to do, and weighing what I do here, I was fired from a job for working for somebody. So to start all over again and to work for somebody that can fire you again, I was like, nah, you know. I passed up on this, you know. Because I can do great for 3 months, and then Mark could be like, well, Daryl, you know, thank you very much. Appreciate you. Have a nice day. Or he can, or they can love me down there. But what Clipper Nation made Clipper Daryl. So I didn't want to betray the situation, because once I walk away from Clipper Nation, there's no more Clipper Daryl.
Right. So now, Clipper Daryl, before you make your pitch, what would you say to someone who says that your owner, Donald Sterling, he's known around the league for being cheap. What would you say to someone who would say, well, your owner is cheap and he doesn't like to spend the money?
Let's go about Mr. Sterling. Mr. Sterling is a great owner, I feel. He's a great businessman. You tell me one player that he has not signed that went on and did great things.
Oh, no, see, and Paul, I want to jump on that, because I was going to just kind of comment on the fact that one of the things I think that is underrated is, you know, they didn't re-sign Elton Brand, and, of course, who are the Sixers stuck with?
That's true.
I mean, they got a dud, and I think that, you know, I have to think that, you know, the Clippers looked, especially in the last 5-7 years, they really have tried to not just build the winner, but keep the winner there. But, you know, the market-driven forces of the restrictions in free agency with the NBA, it's hard to sign a lot of players because of the fact that most of the free agencies you want to sign, they're better off staying at home. And up until this year, anyway, there haven't been that many impact free agents year in and year out. This is the one year where even if they don't get a guy like LeBron, I mean, there are six top players that a team could land. You get a Joe Johnson, maybe, as opposed to a LeBron, and I'm going to tell you that it's not the worst thing in the world to get a Joe Johnson or a Chris Bosh.
Now, I mean, I believe we don't need Chris Bosh. I believe we have Chris Kamen, okay? We have Blake Griffin. We have Eric Gordon. We have Baron Davis. And we have DeAndre Jordan. I mean, come on now, baby.
Well, you know, that guy could be an announcer, Paul. So while you're at it, Clipper Darrell, you know what? We brought you on. Make your pitch to LeBron, D-Wade, whoever's out there. Make your pitch. Tell everybody why they should come to love to the L.A. Clippers and be a part of Clipper Nation with Clipper Darrell.
Forget about the past. Let's look forward to the future. Don't look at the owner. The owner will write a check if you work the check to be written, okay? But like I told you before, there's five players why you need to come here. We have the best chemistry guy. I don't care what you talk, what you look at with New Jersey, what you look at in Chicago, what you look in New York. Our salary cap is there for you, LeBron. You can pick your coach. You can pick your GM. You can have fun, and you be in Hollywood, baby. But it's five players that will love to have you here, and Clipper Nation will give you the biggest standing ovation you ever received in your history of playing basketball, baby. Baron Davis, okay? Eric Gordon, Chris Kamen. And you know, we got our rookie back, baby, and Blake Griffin, baby, and we got DeAndre Jordan. And now we just picked up Kentucky's guard. We just picked up Ademu. Now, come on, baby. We need you, LeBron. Come on to L.A., baby. Clipper Nation, baby. LBJ. LBJ. LBJ.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Clipper Darrell, we got to get a Let's Go Clippers chant. We got to get a Let's Go Clippers chant. You can't leave us without giving us a Let's Go Clippers chant.
When I say LeBron, you say James. LeBron, James. LeBron, James. Let's go Clippers. Let's go. Let's go Clippers. Let's go.
Well, Clipper Darrell, we'll see what happens with free agency. We'll see how it all plays out. Thank you for stopping by. And I want everybody to go to www.clipperdarrell.com. That's www.clipperdarrell, which is DARRELL.com. .com. I got it. Let me do it one more time. Make sure everybody got it. That's Clipper Darrell. CLIPPERDARRELL.com. So make sure you go there, ClipperDarrell.com. The great guy here, Clipper Nation. I'm rooting for you, Clipper Nation. I hope everything works out for you. But quite frankly, Clipper Darrell, I hope he stays in Cleveland. But we'll see what happens. Clipper Darrell, thanks for joining us, sir.
All right, thanks a lot for having me, buddy.
Take care.
Love to have you back.
All right, anytime, man. Just give me a call.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
It's interesting, Paul. You know, it's interesting. You do sometimes you wonder. He made one of the interesting points he certainly made is that, you know, they would have no problem writing the check. And I think if you're a guy like LeBron James, what do you do knowing that everybody really is not going to have the problem writing the check? It's got to be a difficult decision when it doesn't come down to money. For once in a player's life, it's really not about the money now.
Well, I mean, I talked about it on Saturday, but, I mean, LeBron James can get $30 million more in Cleveland than anywhere else. But, and thinking about that, you know, you're right, it's not about the money. I mean, this is where, I mean, when you get into that level of, I mean, actually, you know what, in terms of $30 million, I mean, that's a lot of money, let's be real. But, I mean.
Well, $30 million to LeBron James is for the advertising revenue. He makes $30 million in advertising revenue.
I'm not going to discount $30 million. You can, but I'm not. I mean, that's a lot of money. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, in terms of that, you want to make sure you're in the right situation, a situation that you're happy in. And so I guess the situation where he may be happy in could be Chicago, could be the Nets, could be New York, could be the Clippers, could be Miami. It could be Cleveland. I mean, who knows? But he seems like a guy who's really, you know, has some hometown pride, And again, that can't be your sole reason to make a decision. But he seems a guy who's very loyal and dedicated to his hometown. Whether that translates to him staying with the Cavaliers, we'll see. But there is some. He does seem like a loyal guy.
Well, we'll see
what happens.
But you talk about this loyalty, Paul. I mean, if it really is going to matter. I mean,
anything he wants to be loyal to, the most important thing should be himself. I mean, Cleveland is not loyal to LeBron James as much as they're mostly loyal to the fact that he has rebuilt their franchise.
Well, he is their franchise.
And they're not. That's why. But Paul, you keep talking about how they're going to win a championship. I told you this during the season. If they really wanted a championship, they'd have made the trade for Amari Stoudemire, and they would have ran through the playoffs. But they didn't really want to win the championship.
I don't agree with that. But I mean, maybe just they couldn't get the deal done. Maybe it came down to not getting the deal done.
The deal was done. They didn't want to give up the players. They didn't want to win the championship, because if they won the championship this year, you and I both know the real chance that meaning Cleveland, is going to be able to re-sign LeBron James decreases immensely, considering the fact now he's already won a championship in Cleveland.
Now he can go to a team like New York. He can go to a team like New Jersey and rebuild and take 2, 3, 4, even 5 years without a championship, considering he won one.
So you're saying that to go to one of those spots to do that?
If he won a championship this year, it would have been much more.
I agree with that.
And that's why I say I think the organization in Cleveland. I think if you are LeBron James, you really do slow this process down, and I do commend him a lot for putting it out to the media. You know that he is not going to go on some world tour. He's not going to make a circus out of this. Yes, it's an important decision, but no, it doesn't have to be parades in every city, and he doesn't have to have dinners, and there doesn't need to be famous people from each of the towns and each of the cities.
I think if you're
a guy like Clipper Larry, you know the Clipper organization.
Clipper Daryl.
Anyway. You look at Paul, you know me. I'm not good with names. I'm good with numbers. If you look at that team in comparison to the Nets, the Knicks, and even the Heat. I mean, the Heat makes sense only if D-Wade is there. But if you look at a team like the Clippers, you know, the series contenders, a team like the Bulls, then maybe you want to say to yourself, where is it the best for me? And that's why I say, even $30 million, Paul, if you're a guy like LeBron James, one of the few athletes in the world that command global advertising revenue, he makes more money in China. I was watching a piece, I think it was on ESPN. He's making more advertising revenue in China than Kobe Bryant is. It's like you can't. So winning isn't good, and that's a global. That's over in China, where they said that in the U.S. I think the basketball advertising revenue grows less than 10% a year. In China, it's over 26%.
Well, but at the same time, I do think that if you win championships, you gain notoriety. You already have it, but you gain more of it. And if I think LeBron, he's in a position where he can just think about championships. And forget about all the – I mean, like I said, I mean, New York is a big city, big market and whatnot. But, I mean, in this day and age, there's other ways to make advertising dollars, considering the way our society is technology-wise and the way that information is quickly sent out there. And the way you have cable TV, you have all these other mediums that can quickly put things out here. So it doesn't matter where he's at.
Paul, you know as well as anybody, living and growing up in a town like Philadelphia that was hard on its athletes, New York is very much the same way. I mean, you go and you play for the Knicks, especially the Knicks. I mean, you have three horrible years, which you can easily project that it is going to be – they will be horrible for three more years, even with LeBron. They'll never make the playoffs in 3 years.
They'll be a playoff team, but that's all they will be.
Well, you know more about sports than me. I mean, you picked the NBA champion in the first round of playoffs. You said it was Cleveland all the way, and you were right. You know more, Paul. So you know. So certainly speak on. I'm listening. Let me learn from the master.
Well, do learn, do listen. I do think though, if with LeBron James, if you put him in New York, and right now, I mean, if you add him with a Bosch or somebody like that, then you're definitely a playoff contender. I mean, you're definitely a playoff team. Even without Bosch, you're probably a playoff team, but that's all you will be. But if you add a guy like Chris Bosch or some other pieces into the mix, then you become more than that. You become more than that. But
they have no other money, and they're locked into horrible contracts. The Knicks are not going anywhere, Paul.
We'll see. How much more we'll see, and one doesn't know, but we'll see. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Switching gears now, Michael Vick. Last week, Michael Vick was involved in a little situation. Apparently, he was at a club where he was having his 30th birthday party out in Virginia, near his hometown. And he had a little club. He had a little party there. And it was his 30th party. It was supposed to be a big, big event. Got over close to 300 to 400 people were at the party. So it was a good time, a lot of people there. But apparently, after the party, there were some issues. You had a guy who turned state's evidence on Michael Vick in the dogfighting trial, and that was Quanis Phillips, who was allegedly shot in the foot. Now, so there's conflicting reports of what happened. A lot of people right now, Vick's lawyer saying he wasn't there, and the report said he was not there when Phillips was shot. But apparently there was a situation where Quanis Phillips maybe threatened to put cake in the face of Mike Vick or either threatened or put cake in his face. I mean, there's conflicting reports there. But as of right now, the NFL is gathering information. Apparently, according to the police, Michael Vick is not of interest in this situation, but he voluntarily talked to the police about everything. So as of right now, the NFL is gathering information. The Eagles are gathering information. In terms of probation, we don't know if he violated anything there. So it's up in the air right now. But, I mean, if you're Michael Vick and you're a guy who is hated by many, a guy who many believe does not deserve to be back in football, a guy who many believe is a disgusting and a despicable human being, you don't need to be in those situations. I mean, if you want to have a 30th birthday party, don't have it in your hometown where you have all these guys, hometown haters, coming back and doing some things to you, disrespectful things, hometown haters who are jealous of you. And so don't have a party in your
But hometown. You know what, Paul? Let me even stop you there. I mean, why even at 30 years old you get a $5.2 million pickup option by the Eagles? Why even bother with these, you know, celebrations? And when you're preaching to young children about being responsible and learning from your mistakes, I mean, isn't a 30-year-old party, isn't that the same as what he was doing, you know, when he was making these mistakes, was being flamboyant and being boisterous and putting attention on you? He turned 30, Paul. He didn't turn 40. He wasn't over the hill. He wasn't 21. I mean, this isn't a sweet 16. It was a 30-year-old birthday party. If you're responsible, if you're mature, don't you just sit in your home, you know, take your children, your wife out to dinner, your friends, your family, a quiet dinner, and go about your business. You made $5.2 million, and you played four downs the whole season. Aren't you smart enough to say, you know what, I want to earn that money?
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, now let me also say this though. I mean, yes, Michael Vick, in that situation, Michael Vick, you do have to be smarter. And maybe you have that 30th birthday party at your house or something of that nature. Maybe you have it, I don't know, at a family member's house or something small, intimate, something of that nature. You don't need to have it at a club in your hometown. You're asking for trouble, And like I said before, you have hometown haters. So hometown haters are going to do certain things. And so why would you put yourself in a position for something bad to happen? I mean, you don't want to be in that position where something bad will happen. And you put yourself, unfortunately, Mike, you kind of put yourself in that position. And by being there and being in that club and being in that situation. Now, Mike, I understand you're 30, you have money, you want to enjoy yourself. But, Mike, this is kind of a second chance for you. So if you mess up, you're done. You're done. So, you know.
Well, but Paul. The question I have is, doesn't this constitute as a mess up? I mean, when are people going to get tired of, you know, the mindset that, you know, they're making, to me, you're making an excuse of Michael Vick. Oh, you know, he wasn't there during the shooting. Oh, this, oh, that. I mean, wasn't this in and of itself just, you know, a microcosm of who maybe this guy is as a person, a guy that, no matter what, is not going to make the right decision. No matter what, it's still tied to, like you call it, the hometown haters. I mean, this being, I think, a bad example, being at the wrong place at the wrong time and doing it consistently.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, if Jeremy Yespe is having a 30th birthday party at Club So-and-So, Club Jump, and somebody gets shot a block or
Paul, but Paul, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. No. We're going to stop you there. We're going to stop you there because Jeremy Yespe isn't having a birthday party at Club Jump. Jeremy Yespe doesn't do that. Paul,
let's
you know what? Let's use somebody else. Let's use Cheryl from Detroit, Paul. Let's use Cheryl from Detroit because Jeremy Yespe doesn't do. Maybe Cheryl from Detroit does that. Jeremy Yespe does not do that. You know, I'm smarter than that, Paul. I've reached places and I've done things in my life that I don't need to go back and pretend I'm 18, I'm 21, and in the clubs. I'm a 30-year-old grown man, and if anything, me and my consortium, if you will, of friends and family, we'll go out to a dinner or we will go into a private room or into someone's home and have a celebration, but we're not going to be in a club.
Okay, so you won't be in the club, but let's just make this. Let's just walk with me here. Let's say we go. Jeremy has a party.
Let's use Cheryl, Paul. Let's use Cheryl.
Jeremy, Cheryl, whoever else you want to lose. Steve, Joe, Bob. Somebody gets shot a block away from Club Jump, and so are you responsible for what happens? So is that your response? Are you responsible? So should we say, oh, Jeremy is a bad guy because at his party somebody got shot a block away from the party? I mean, if the guy that got shot
turned state's evidence on me and was responsible for putting me in jail, yeah, I think you are a bad guy.
Well, I mean, but how can you automatically say, okay, Michael Vick has something to do with that?
I don't think he had it. Let me go out and say this now. I don't think he had anything to do with it. I don't care if he did or he didn't. Just the simple fact that he was stupid enough to even be there is guilty enough for me. This guy was given a second chance, and this is what he decided to do with it.
Well, I mean, yes, but so are you not allowed? I mean, I'm not saying it's the best decision making by Mike Vick, but are you not allowed to go to the club? I mean, he's grown. He's over 21. He's allowed to step in those places, and he can't have a party for himself to enjoy a birthday, which may be a big deal to him, may not be.
He had a birthday for himself.
May not be a big deal for you, but maybe a big deal for him. So maybe he wanted to have a birthday party to celebrate his being 30 years old. I mean,
with 300 of his closest friends that he didn't know, right?
Three to 400 of his closest friends, yes. And
that he didn't even know.
Apparently, it costs $50 to get in there to that particular club. So, I mean,
didn't Allen Iverson get a piece of that too, Paul?
Well, apparently, AI was supposedly at the club. I don't know. He was supposed to be there, but also D'Angelo Hall was supposed to be there. But apparently, D'Angelo Hall through his Twitter page said that he wasn't there. So I who knows? But I mean, Roddy White, according to an article in the Daily Press in Hampton, in Virginia, Roddy White said that him and Vic had they had left the party. They were gone by the time all the nonsense happened. So, I mean, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll see what goes on there. But is it bad judgment on Mike Vick's part? Probably yes. But, I mean...
just bad. You're just going to say it's bad judgment.
It's bad judgment on his part.
Paul, you're going into July. Paul, you know what? Like, it's time for you to stop talking for 2 minutes because not only are you getting on my nerves, but I have to remind you that you picked the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the NBA championship, and they didn't even get out of the Eastern Conference Finals. So listen and learn. The guy has played football at the professional level and has sucked his entire career. He goes away from the game for almost 2 to 3 seasons, comes back, gets a minimum contract last year with the Eagles with the club option of $5.2 million, which they exercise. And his answer to all of this is to go out and promote a 30-year-old birthday party that he maybe, Paul, was making $20,000-$30,000 in an appearance fee in. I mean, you have to tell me on the level of stupidity, I wonder if he qualifies for, like, you know, some kind of disability benefit. Like, if he has a mental disability that may award him monetary dollars from our government, rightly so,
well,
considering his actions.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go that far, but it's not – I'm not saying –
because you're an apologist, Paul.
I'm not apologizing for the man. I'm not saying this.
Oh, you are, Paul. Why don't you apologize for him?
But are you sorry for him?
At
the same time, this is a grown man. This is a man who's 30
Michael Vick,
old.
On behalf of Paul Gannon, we want you to know we're sorry for you.
This is a man whose birthday party was obviously important for him. So with all that being said, if Michael Vick wants to go out and have a good time and have a good party,
sure.
God, enjoy your time, Michael Vick. Have a great time, buddy. There are consequences to living in the moment, Michael Vick.
Jeffy, if you want to speak over me, that's fine.
Unfortunately, that's what happens there, Mike Vick. And yes, the nature of your situation. And I heard someone say
you have to remember, Paul.
I heard someone say today, if Donovan McNabb had the same type of party and a shooting happened at that party, there would not be the same type of backlash. And rightfully so, because Donovan is a guy who's a good guy. He's no
and you would have saved him anyway, Paul. Like if it was McNabb, you'd have been playing songs, you'd have been writing songs, you'd have been strumming your guitar.
I'm sorry.
You should get your Vic song out next, Paul. I mean, this is the sad part. Is here you have another opportunity.
Hold on. I want to clarify something. I'm not a Mike Vick apologist here, and I'm not apologizing for the guy. But I also want to say this. A lot of times people, just because they do something wrong in the past, are vilified for the rest of their lives because of that one mistake or a few mistakes. But at some point, we have to say, you know what, and it's not human. It's human nature to say, you know what, he did it before, he did something else before, he'll do something else again. It's human nature for us to believe and say that. But we also have to say, you know what, this guy, he's going out to a club. He's 30 years old. He's over the age of 21. He's not doing anything illegal that we know of. He's just having a good time. And just enjoying his birthday and celebrating his birthday with people from his hometown.
That he doesn't know. Let's look at this from his profession. Stop for a minute.
I gotta make this point. The point is
okay, Ms.
Jeffy. The point is this. You cannot just keep holding this man accountable for what happened years past. I mean, he served his time. That's a done deal. He did all he had to do for that. That's a done deal. Granted, he has some probation time that he has to get through, but he did all. He served his jail time. He's a free man, and he's doing what free men do.
But last I checked,
it's not against the law to have a party at a club in your name, and it's not against, and you're not a you, you didn't do anything wrong. If somebody happened,
well, the last time I checked, though, Paul. The last time I checked, it is against the law
from the club.
It is against the law, though, Paul. The last time I checked, to socialize with someone that the courts told you you can go back to jail and is a direct violation of your probation to be around. And obviously,
well, we don't know what in terms of if he violated his probation. We don't know that. I mean, granted, he's not supposed to be associated with.
And what about Paul? What loyalty does he owe the Philadelphia Eagle organization a month before they're heading into training camp? A month before the fact that, like, you know, Michael Vick is going to be, whether you say people don't have to hold him accountable for what happened 3-4 years ago, the bottom line is he should be smart enough to know it doesn't matter what's right or what's wrong. He's a lightning rod. Let me finish, Paul. He's a lightning rod.
I agree with you.
Now,
before you finish.
Great. I'm glad that you got that out there. If that made you feel better, I mean, let's do it again. We can run the tape back. But as I was saying, the Philadelphia Eagles gave him this opportunity, and not only that, they picked up an option for him this year. He gets guaranteed employment for another year, certainly another year where more teams are going to be able to watch him develop, watch him maturate, if you will, into a supposed NFL quarterback. And his answer to this opportunity was to be selfish, to be immature, adolescent, and throw a birthday party for himself. Well, really wasn't thrown for him. It was a money-making attempt to profit off of younger, even more immature people than Mike Vick himself. Not to say, you know what, I'm going to sit home and I'm going to make sure the Philadelphia Eagles get 100% of me because they're paying me $5.2 million to sit the bench this year. Mind you, Paul, he's going to make more money guaranteed this contract than the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, if you really want to get serious.
No, Paul.
He's making more money.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, he does have an obligation to this organization, which gave him a second chance. They did, and I can't argue against that. They gave him a second chance when nobody else would. But there were other teams who were interested, but ultimately they were the team who signed him. So he does have a level of loyalty to them. But at the same time, I mean, again, whether if somebody gets shot, honestly, it does sound a little suspicious that the person who gets shot is the person who turns state's evidence against you. But at the same time, Mike does have to make better decisions, and in terms of that, and Mike has to be a little smarter. But. I'm not here to just to convict Mike Vick or saying he's a bad guy because he had a party in his name and someone happened to get shot and maybe a block or two away from the club and as all reports are indicating as of now that he wasn't even there. So with all that being said and with him not even being there, you know it's in some respect it can be unfair for us to vilify the guy. We can vilify the decision-making and chastise and criticize the decision-making in terms of having the party and at the club and all that. But at the same time, he did not commit a crime. He, as far as we know, he didn't violate any type of probation. And as far as we know, he essentially just went out there and had a good time.
But Paul, as far as we also know, this was not a Mike Vick birthday. You are leading the listeners down the wrong path. This was a money making attempt. This is not just about Mike Vick. This was about Mike Vick, Allen Iverson, and D'Angelo Hall, three hometown guys that were born in the same relative time period that were going to celebrate their birthday if you could afford the $50 entry fee to chill with the homies, if you will, and it was shameless. It was so shameless, in fact, D'Angelo Hall, as you say, goes out there and tells people, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this. This is nothing about, has
well,
nothing
he,
to do
he
with
said,
me.
He just said he wasn't at the party.
Paul, and let's read between the lines. Do you want me to help you? Because I know you talk all the time about my vocabulary. If you need me to help you, read through the lines.
Well,
I'll certainly help you do that.
Well, if you're reading through the lines, I mean, he said he wasn't there, and that's he wasn't there. So I just take him on that. I'm not going to.
He said he wasn't there because they were promoting him being there. They were promoting the fact that he's going to make an appearance, and he didn't want to let people think that if you spend $50, you're going to get a chance to meet me.
Well, I mean, whether that's true or not true, or what have you, you know, the bottom line is that D'Angelo Hall said he was not there. And whether it was a money-making grab or not a money-making grab, who knows? But and probably he did it to make a level of money. Sure, why not? He still owes me people money, so I guess that's understandable on some level. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. And again, I'll say it again. I mean, you do have to make better decisions in terms of where you have your parties and whatnot. But as of right now, as we speak today, the man did not commit any crime. As of right now, the police are saying that he's not a person of interest at all. And he voluntarily talked to the police and everything. So as of right now, Michael Vick is, in a lot of ways, an innocent man who had an unfortunate situation. Mike Vick, I mean, you do have to be a little smarter, buddy. You definitely have to be a little smarter in what you do and who you associate with. You do. But at the same time, Mike, I'm not ready to vilify. I'm not ready to say you did anything wrong. And you didn't as of right now, but you do have to be smarter. And that's all I'll say. You definitely have to be smarter.
You have to be smarter. No, Paul. You have to be a professional athlete. You have to be a guy that's committed to going out and mentoring young children and not just telling people about, you know, what you did and how you learned from your mistakes. But when you have as you told me this term, Paul, when you have a teachable moment with a young child, you got to walk the walk.
True. There's no argument there. No argument at all.
He looks like a hypocrite. You know, if that was my young child that heard him speak, I'd want my money back.
I wouldn't. But, I mean, it is what it is. You did get an opportunity to meet my
Now, family. We both know, as cheap as you are, Paul, you're not going anyway.
What, to the party?
To anything.
Well, I'm not spending $50 to go to see Mike Vick's 30th birthday party. No, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to be there. I'll pass. No, thank you. No, thank you at all. Number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, another 2 minutes left of the show. I want to thank everybody who joined us here. Definitely want to thank Clipper Darryl for coming and making his pitch for LeBron James to come to the Clippers. And before we do that, we have a caller here. Hello, you're on Go For It.
How you doing, sir? I just wanted to, Mark from New Jersey, I wanted to speak about the Michael Vick situation. I think at this point, like, he need to just not go out anymore. Like, you know, going out for him should be like a six-pack and going to his friend's house to play video games or something like that.
Well, we don't advocate liquor on this show. This is a family show, Mark from New Jersey. Maybe a high C.
So you're saying a six-pack and basically the Wii, and that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much.
And that should be the extent of his fun.
I think so. He's about to get married. He can go to the movies. Have a fiance. He's allowed to go out to dinner.
What about church, Mark from New Jersey?
Church is always a good thing.
Well, he did. Michael Vick did when he came out of prison. Did say he made a commitment to be a better person and a better Christian. So, I mean, it's probably not the best place to be if he wants to be a better person and a better Christian. But I mean, it's unfortunate what happened with Mike Vick in that situation. But we all hope that he learns from it. Thanks for your call, Mark. We got another 40 seconds left in the show. I want to thank all who called, all who listened. It's a great show. Clipper Darrell stopped by, gave us some insight on the free agency. So it was a good time and a good situation. Hopefully you guys will call back and listen to the show in the future. And you can listen to all the shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin. That's blogtalkradio.com/begin. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for everybody for calling us. And we'll see you Wednesday. Make sure
Take
you
care,
join
Paul.
Us there. Take care, everybody. Bye.